From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Caudette. This is Idaho Matters. A new House subcommittee is investigating what they call the weaponization of the federal government. And Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, and other Republicans insist on comparing their subcommittee to the Church Committee. This is the highly regarded bipartisan inquiry of the 1970s. Well, our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, sat down with Monica Church, the executive director of the Frank Church Institute, and Dr. Stephanie Martin, the current holder of the Frank and Bethany Church Chair of Public Affairs at Boise State University, to talk about the name that many have chosen to call this committee.
Well, Monica Church, executive director of the Frank Church Institute, and it's important that I also say granddaughter of Frank Church. So can I assume that you've got professional and personal feelings about this?
Well, thank you. Yes, I do have both of those. And I would say professionally, I'll leave the academics to Dr. Martin. But you're right, as far as a legacy, the church committee's work represented a really watershed moment in American history. And co-opting the name, I think, does not only harm to Senator Frank Church's legacy, but also to the legacy of, you know, what makes the American democratic system so valuable. You know, what came out of the church committee was a few things. You know, first and foremost, the permanent Senate and House committees on intelligence that oversee the entire U.S. intelligence community. And then, of course, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And these came out of a goal. There was a goal to the committee that I think we're missing in this new subcommittee that's been created in the House of Representatives today. The goal of the Church Committee and of Senator Church was to fundamentally reform the way the intelligence community operated. And that was to assure that the constitutional liberties of all Americans were being upheld. And so I worry that this committee doesn't have a specific goal that's set out, nor is its apparent goal the constitutional liberties of all Americans. So thank you for asking that. Yes, I do worry a little bit about the name being, you know, co-opted in this way.
Dr. Sam Martin, when I first heard this, I thought, well, this can't hold water because, well, I'm older. Indeed, I was a journalist. I covered politics in the 70s. I have very vivid memories of the church committee. But when I put something out on social media a few days ago, more than a few people responded that they didn't know too much about the church committee. So my first thought is we better know our history because somebody may take it from you. Somebody might use it for their own devices.
You know, I went all the way to the end of school and earned a PhD, but it was in high school that one of my best history teachers instilled in me the notion that history is not facts. History is the interpretation of the record of the past. And I'm going to say that a second time, that history is the interpretation of the record of the past. And that's why what my colleague, Ms. Church, was talking about is so important, that we need to make sure that we're interpreting the past in a way that has fidelity. What the church committee was came out actually of extraordinary investigative journalism. And so the beginning of the church committee was not even Frank Church. The beginning of the church committee was an article that came out in the New York Times by a journalist named Seymour Hersh that exposed a program of domestic surveillance. And that journalism was taken seriously by Congress on behalf of the American citizens. And that is an entirely different situation than is happening now on Capitol Hill, which really feels like some lawmakers engaged in a form of retribution. And in fact, one of my favorite things as I've been learning about this was that Senator Church was criticized by members of the Democratic Party itself for being too willing to compromise and work with members of the GOP, for being too willing to listen to their concerns and their questions and what they thought was going on. And so that kind of reaching across the aisle, that kind of bipartisanship. And so that is really important to recognize. And they went after what they hoped would be a 12-month investigation, actually went on for 16 months, and they did most of it in secret. It wasn't for the cameras, it was for the people.
to compare the church committee to what is currently happening in DC, I think is unwarranted. I think it's inaccurate. And I also think that we need to really delve into why this committee was created in the first place. Something to note, I think, for all of the listeners, is that this new church committee or church committee 2.0 or all of the different names that they've used for it, the notion that this is somehow novel and that this select subcommittee is directly linked to things that have happened since the 2020 election, I think it's just not accurate. We've had people talk about the church commission or new church commission since 2018, specifically, you know, Steve Bannon talked about the need for the American Intelligence Institutes to be investigated back in 2018. So there needs to be a lot more understanding of not only the history of this term, the new church committee, but of course, of the church committee itself.
There's so much that I could say as a professor and as a person who thinks about politics and political history in the public sphere. You know, if I go back to your first question that you posed to Ms. Church about the meaning of her name being associated with this, one of the things that I study is public memory and public rhetoric. And we have to think about the fact that the name of the senator is church. And what is the valence of that word, right? There is something that really works to the favor of anyone who can tie their efforts to that name. You know, it is serendipitous, a lucky coincidence for the Senate Republicans in this case, that they can try to pull the record of the past to a name like that. In part, I think that is why this committee continuously circles back into the public memory, despite the fact, George, that many people have forgotten what it is, right? Many people have forgotten exactly what went down in the 1970s. And then when you have this name church that gets pulled into the public valence, that carries with it a certain kind of sacredness, a certain kind of public good, just by virtue of the word, then people go and they look at what happened and they see that this investigation found out that the government did all kinds of things that the government shouldn't have done. And that as a result of this investigation, lawmakers worked to the good of the American people. And they did the things like put into place permanent committees in Congress to oversee the intelligence agencies. They put a limit on the term of the FBI director so that no one like Hoover could ever exist again. They did all these good things. There is just this way that it all comes together in serendipity to create a thing that just works. And so what I just always want to say as a person who teaches in this realm and thinks in this realm is that we often forget in this era of what we call polarization and political identity, and we're Democrats or we're Republicans, we often forget that the point is not that our side should win. The point is that we, the people, are the government. We, the people, are the ones who are supposed to lead. And so we need to make sure that we hold our history, our traditions, our mistakes in good stead, in order that we don't make those mistakes again, and that we make sure that even if it's our party that is doing things that misappropriate the past, that we throw, you know, it's the playoffs this weekend, it was, you know, it's football's going on, we throw a flag on the field and we say, no, that's a 15-yard penalty. You need to tell the truth.
Have you considered, or are you considering, a formal communication from the Institute in regards to this matter?
No, but can I will say something about that, George. The Frank Church Institute, one of its most essential functions is to guard the legacy and the history of Senator Frank Church. Senator Church is an Idaho institution to this day. And there are still people in the state who count among their greatest privileges to have known him or have worked for him. Boise State prides itself in having its papers. So while the Institute doesn't yet see itself as having a formal role in responding to this, we absolutely see ourselves as having a role in trying to push back against what feels like a deliberate misinformation campaign and in a besmirching of an Idaho jewel. And it is difficult for every single person affiliated with the Institute, and I dare say for very many Idahoans, to not take this personally. We definitely are losing sleep over what is happening because history matters to us and truth matters to us very much.
That was Dr. Stephanie Martin, the current holder of the Frank and Bethany Church Chair of Public Affairs at Boise State University, along with Monica Church, the executive director of the Frank Church Institute. They were speaking with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This new year, LifeKit wants to help you succeed. Because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to LifeKit from NPR.